Never did go to the pulpit without my husband brought me up for two reasons. First, he's afraid I'd fall getting up there. And then he wanted people to know that he supported me. But you know God came with me. And I've got my dear friends and my family here. Sister Kelly, appreciate you. When Jesus chose his 12 disciples, he chose 12 different personalities, 12 different ways of thinking, 12 different ways of seeing things, talking, reading. So when the Holy Spirit asked me to share God's word, Jesus already knew I was different. So the next time you talk to him, well, you can discuss it with him. What was he thinking? What does he mean? He knew that when I went into the Bible to read, that I go, the ladies already know this gentleman. When I go into the Bible to read, I don't just read. I just get in there. I go. I eat what they eat. I drink what they drink. I do what they do. And that's the way I see things, and God already knew it. He knows that I'll turn over every little rock that I can, and sometimes I eat so much good manna before I get to the subject, I never do get to the subject. So if they ask me what the subject was, I don't know. Pick your own here. During one of my devotion times, about 3 months ago, maybe, two, I was walking along with a crowd trying to get close to Jesus. I knew he was there because there was a big crowd. And a lot of people were whispering, you know, and talking. I was elbowing my way up because I wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, as particularly about a particular question that was asked him. I wanted to hear what he had to say. But I picked up this little piece of manna before I got there, and I began to eat on it, and I began to chew on it, and I'm still at it. It's today. It's today. Now, I'm using the King James Version. I'm sorry, I'm 91 year old. I'm using the King James Version. Almost 91, 2 months. And I understand it. I have the other Bibles, and I like them. They're good. But sometimes they leave out a word, you know, that means a lot to the subject. And it's bread. It's food. And I eat on those things. I'm a snacker. I eat it before I get to the subject. So as a springboard, my subject will be on down the road. One of the records of Jesus of walking on the water we found recorded in Mark, the 6th chapter of Mark. I'm not going to preach on Jesus walking on the water, so don't get excited. I'm just using it as a springboard. I have to be me now. Amen. She taught me that. Be you. Mark the 6th chapter, the 51st verse in 52. And he went up into them in the ship, this is Jesus, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. In other words, they forgot. That's what they'd done. Just out and out and forgot. But let's focus on three words here that I had to dwell on a while. The first word we want to see is beyond. Beyond's not just right over where these people are sitting. It's way out there. They forgot way out there. Beyond measure. It's something that you judge things by. How big it is, how small it is. Way beyond measure, they forgot what Jesus did. And wonder. Wonder is a feeling of surprise. And you know, it had just been a while since he had done that. It hadn't been years and months and days. But they'd forgot it. Verse 52 tells us why they were so amazed at this. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, for their hearts were hardened. They did a lot of forgetting, the disciples did. Another time they forgot was they were going on this ship trip in Mark the 8th with Jesus. Can you imagine 12 men at least, 13 with Jesus, and I don't know how many more, forgot to take bread on a boat trip? Now, these are the things I see in the Bible. This is why they were so amazed. They forgot that, and they forgot this too. Today, I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying that we have forgotten a lot of things. We've just forgot them. This is not a message of condemnation, so don't think it is. It's a message to get us to remember. To remember. We've forgotten beyond measure, wondering. We forgot one of the things that God told the children of Israel, how to remember. We forgot that. It's recorded in Deuteronomy's 11th chapter. There's a whole bunch of things down there that he told them to remember. So we want to keep in mind the part of remembering. He told them to bind this on their hands. Now the Israelites had a little bracelet with a little dingley box here that they opened up and stuck a scripture in, and they remembered it that way. But he tells us to keep it on our hands too. The Old Testament is for us also. So we can't just shut our mind to that. He said to remember them going in and coming out. When you're sitting down and when you're getting up. To remember. Tell them to your children. Mm-hmm. Have we forgot that? Have we forgot? Now, I'm not just zeroing in on this church. I'm saying the nation as a whole. Have we forgot it? Now, let's just, for just a few minutes, put Mark and the disciples right up here on this shelf. We'll keep them there for a little bit. We want to look at Matthew. It'll be just a little while before I read the scripture in Matthew. Oh, I do things backwards. I preach my Christmas message at Easter. When I read this in the scriptures, brother, I jumped up out of my seat and I had myself a little fit right in my house. And I was saying, oh, dear God, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive our nation. Forgive our town, our state, and forgive our churches. I walked around that house, and I'm still at it because I believe that right here is one of the things that has caused our nation and our lives to be in the shape it's in, other than the end time. the 11th chapter of Matthew, and I'm still not going to read. They want to put my scripture up there, and they can't catch me. The 11th chapter of Matthew, John the Baptist was still alive, but he was in prison. So he sent two of his disciples to see what if this was the Messiah. He had heard about the teaching and the preachings and the healings and the miracles, and after all, Jesus was his first cousin. You know, I'm not even going to go visit my first cousin, much less go hear him preach. But John the Baptist wanted to know. This was a question I wanted to know. What's Jesus going to say he is? You know, Kelly says, I'm a lot of things, but I say I'm not. So I wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. John set these two disciples and he said, is this the, are you the Messiah or the one we're looking for? I forgot where I'm supposed to read. Matthew 11, 3 and 4. The reason I forget is because I'm 91 years old. Now, when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. This is what I was reading when I jumped out of my seat, brother. It's a word in here that may not be in your Bible. It may have been taken out, but it's in the King James Version, and it really means something. It really means something here if we look at it. Jesus said, go and tell or show. I'm using tell. Go tell John what? Again. Go tell him again. Have we forgot this? I thought I just might want to run a race around this church this morning when they turned that first song on talking about the old disciples. Go tell it again. Our seminar teachers and our better speakers tells you don't repeat anything in your message or in your sermon because that's an insult to the people. But Jesus said, go tell it again. Now, which one are we going to do? We're going to follow.
Right.
We're going to follow Jesus or we're going to follow the seminar teachers. Oh, I love the knowledge. I love it. Give me more. He told us in the Bible, in the last days, we would have knowledge. But we've taken that knowledge and we're blowing ourselves up until I can't talk to you unless I can talk to you in Greek, and I don't know Greek. But I've got to tell it again, people. I've got to tell it again. Now, allow me to let Jesus rest right over here a minute. Mark's over here. Jesus is over here. We're here. We've got to tell it again. Have we stopped in our churches, in our everyday life, talking about what happened in this book? What Jesus has said, what he's told us to do? Is that why our church is in such a turmoil? Our nation is such a turmoil? Oh, God, forgive us. Sure, it's the last days, and all these things we're seeing in the last days coming, but we've added to it. We've added to it. We just stopped talking about it in our everyday, excuse me, I'm going to have this. I've got a little problem. Ask Kelly, she'll tell you about it. She's praying for me. We used to have this in every conversation that we had. Something that came out of here. Something that came out of the Bible. Now, I can tell you, young people, if you're not 75-year-old, you're young people to me. I get tickled saying young people. These are babes. These are kids. These are young people. We've just got to tell these stories again. We've got to tell what happened in our lifetime. Has the old stories in this Bible gotten so old they're not new now? Have we forgotten about the burning bush? Parting of the Red Sea. Paul and the viper. Do we talk about them? Growing up, I remember when we didn't even have radio. We had to talk. And we talked about God. We talked about what he was doing, the wonderful miracles that he did. I bet today if we used to go and take a survey of this town, particularly of high school, grade school, and ask these children about the football players, I bet you they could tell you every football player's name and have a stack of cards that high. They could tell you everything that's on the little thing that they carry in their pocket. I didn't even have a television when I was little. It amazes me I can carry one in my pocket now. They could tell you all of that. They could tell you every movie star won, every reward that ever come past here. But you walk up to one and say, what did Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego do? They couldn't tell you. They'd look at you and wonder, well, who are they? We have stopped spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ that's in this word, and we have gotten too big to thank God for it. I'm sorry, people. This is a reminder that God said we needed to get back to. The devil never has stopped me coughing, preaching. I'm just preaching cough. He's been at this for years. I just preach and drink water and cough, just preach right on. Our children don't know, and children under 75. My children, I talked about things when they were little, but I don't know if I talk about them now or not. I don't, apparently, because I sure did. Am repenting. I've been calling on help. Because we must tell it again. Would you allow me to tell you a few things that I have to tell again? And you think of a few things while I'm talking about that you have to tell again. I don't know why, but when I started this message, I thought about this lady here in the blue. I don't know why her life, I think it's Mary. Mary or something like that. There's a Mary that sits over here. I thought about you all during this message that you had something to tell. Think about it. When I was 9 years old, and now that you say that, to me, it hadn't even been born yet. When I was 9 years old, I was standing on the porch, front porch, and God has dropped into my spirit even before I was born the beautiful scenery that he's made. I just melt when I see a bubbling creek and a little flower beside it and a big old mountain over here and everything. Oh, I just melt. And at 9 years old, I was standing on my porch, and I looked out over this absolutely beautiful hillside. And remember our words? I didn't know that then. I know it now. Our words. And I said, nothing in this world could be any more beautiful. At 9 years old. Then I looked up in the sky, people. And I saw Jesus. No, it was not a cloud formation. Even at 9 years old, you see Jesus, you know him from the cloud formation. I saw Jesus. Oh, yes, it was more beautiful than this world. More beautiful. Like you'd taken a pencil, drawn it out in gold in that beautiful blue sky. He's been with me ever since then. Ever since then. A little bit older. 16 or 17 year old, maybe 19. I take a little off every day, year. My mother mopped the floor that day. We are poor folks. Really poor. We had absolutely nothing for breakfast. Not even flour to make water gravy. I think my mother had a little salt and a little baking powder, and I believe that was it. We live across the street from the grocery store. And my daddy, just 15 minutes before the store closed, bowed his head on that clean, mopped floor. And he said, God, I've done all I know to do today. I can do no more. He reached down on the floor and picked up a dollar. We had a loaf of bread, 15 cents, and some eggs. I'm telling you this because we've quit talking about what God's done. We've quit telling it. My daddy said as he went out the door, this is $1 that the Lord will get his dime out of, and he did. He did. A little bit older, I had to have major surgery. It was not expected. It was an instant thing. I had to have major surgery, and that incision would not heal. They took me back in surgery, trimmed me off a little bit, stitched me up again, sent me home. Still would not heal. Now, God moves on people different ways, and I'm telling you, he does move on some men funny. I was in the bed with my incision not healed. My husband came in Sunday night. He looked at me, he says, get out of that bed. We're going to church. I said, Walter, I can't even set up. What do you mean we're going to church? He opened my closet door, and before I knew it, he had put something on me. I don't know what. It was over my gown. He had not combed my hair, but the next thing I knew, I was in the car on my way to church. When we got there, don't you know that he dragged me up to that front seat? Now, man, I tell you, you do things different than we do. Drug me right up to that front seat. Set me down on that front seat. No more than I had sat down there. Kelly had say, set my bottom down. On that chair. God healed me, and I jumped up and danced all over that church. And people, the next day, I sat on the edge of my bed, and I watched that incision heal. I watched it go too. God is real. We have got to tell it. We have got to tell what's in the Word. We've got to tell what He's done to us. We've got to tell it again and again and again. His Word is true. His Word is true.
Amen.
I think I've forgotten my notes. Would you give me time to tell one more?
Yes.
You may be saying, well, God hadn't done anything for me like that. Oh, yes, He has. What about the time that you didn't have enough gas to get there, but you got there?
That's right.
Yes. Now, Sister Kelly, does the Bible say anywhere in there here, God just only does big things for certain people? No. What about the time you sat up all night long with one of your children, so sick that they could not even, you thought surely they was going to die. You couldn't hardly wait to get to the emergency the next morning. Next morning, you're dragging around the house, and that kid's out there playing like nothing in the world ever happened to him. God's mighty hand.
Yes. Amen.
He's done that for us over and over. We don't tell it. We don't tell God did it. What about the time you went to the grocery store with not enough money and come back more than what you thought you had? Now I'm leading up to something. What about the time that you almost had a head on? I bet we've all had that. But we didn't have any come back. Boy, man, you should have seen me. I want to tell you this one more thing before I close. You can believe it or not, it's not up to me for you to believe it. It's up for me to tell it. Driving on the freeway in L.A., you California people, I know exactly what I'm saying. Going right up the 10 highway where it joins into the 101. I'm doing pretty good. I was just keeping right up that traffic. Had a passenger in the car, one of the relatives. And I had to get into the fast lane in order to get into 101 or so I could go home. And in the middle lane over here, there was a white car. And here we're just going and talking, you know, like really women do. All of a sudden, that white car got in front of me. I looked at my passenger, and I said, how'd that car do that? There wasn't any room. They said, I don't know. Oh, we went on just a little farther. Found myself slowing down. That white car is slowing me down. We slowed down, slowed down, slowed down, and we come to a stop. Right up to the 101 freeway where it joins the 10. Head-on-head collision. I don't know how many car pileups is there. Now, people, this is a part you can believe or not. That white car right in front of me disappeared. God Almighty is on His throne. He is looking after you. He's looking after me. He knows us. He knows exactly what we're going through. He will not do everything you want Him to do. My daddy didn't want a dollar. He needed a dollar. God will give you what you need at the time you need it. Every time. We must tell it over and over and over. We have got to tell it again to get our children 75 under to know who God is. We can't play church. We can't play God. I couldn't have done some of these things. I couldn't have done some of these things. But do you know that the three Hebrew children was in the fiery furnace? That was no bigger miracle than Jesus disappearing in that car. Because he loves us, and he thinks of us, and he cares for us, and he will go with you every day if you put your trust in him. While Pastor Kelly comes, Brother Michelle and Gary, these two, Mom and Dad, when she gets through telling you goodbye, we're here to pray for you.
Praise God.